In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ's words are sharp, but they are clear. Do not judge. We make two mistakes when we judge. One, we assume the place of God, and two, we condemn ourselves. So the first, God alone is judge. The whole world is accountable to him, not to us. Everyone will be gathered before him and have to give an answer for all that they have done. His eyes have seen all, his ears have heard all. He knows even the depths of men's hearts. We do not. We are not the judge, he is. And at the last, all will stand before him. Specifically, all will stand before Christ, for the Father has sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So we rightly confess that he will come to judge the living and the dead. Because Christ is the Savior of the world, he also is the one who is appointed judge of the world. He earned that right, for he loved men even to death. Death on the cross, so that all might have life and salvation in his name. You are not the Savior of the world, so you are not the judge of the world. It is not your job to condemn the world. It is not your job to shake your head at the news. It is your job to pray for them. You are not wrong. They are perverse. The world is a very hard place to live and is decreasing in morality day by day. Fathers should be in the home. Husbands and wives should love one another. Deviant behavior should be punished. Biology should be followed. Progressive ideology does thrust man back to the passions of his sinful nature. You are not wrong with any of those things. But that does not mean you get to sit in judgment over them. You are not the judge. Christ is. He shed his blood for them. He died in their place, so that there might be life for all in him. The second one, whenever we judge, we condemn ourselves. Every time we judge someone, we are condemned by that very same law, for the law is a unit. You may not have committed the same offense, but the law remains one. So some sin by adultery, others by murder, others by disobeying parents, still others by rioting. Some commit fraud and money laundering. Others simply steal time at work through laziness and apathy. All have sinned against the same God. All have sinned against the same God who gives the same law. And so the punishment is the same. We are good at knowing the obligations that other people owe us. Husbands know what their wives should do, and wives know what their husbands should do, and both stand condemned under the same law. Scripture says judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. You spend so much time lamenting the behavior of others that you spend little time in prayer for them or praying with your children and teaching them the word of God. Easy to blame those people as you scroll through your phone and ignore your spouse and thus teach your children to do the same to their future spouse. So which of us is ready to stand before God and to say that we have done it right? That we are perfect before him? So why are we so quick to judge others? Does it make us look any better? Can we distract God away from us with the sins of other people? Did that work for Adam or for Eve in the garden? All have sinned. All are under judgment. God's judgment then comes to the one who wants to be the judge. They take the judgment seat reserved for Christ alone, and they are condemned by the very law that they speak. So do not judge. So to Christ we fly. Our judge is our Savior. His blood is our hope. His wounds are our refuge. Tucked away in that baptismal flood, gushing from his side, we have peace and life and rest. On the day you eat of it, you will surely die. God spoke to Adam. He ate. And he died spiritually. He lost the image and likeness of God and was filled with sin. His every desire was sinful. And yet Adam and Eve had enough time to sow fig leaves together before God came. And God did not come on a thunderous cloud with lightning from heaven, but he came in a still small voice calling, "Where are you?" You see how God delays. He delays not because he's apathetic or ignorant of what has happened. He delays not because he tolerates man's sin. He delays so that man might repent. He delays so that he might show love and forgiveness to fallen man. Yes, the world is an awful place in many ways. Yes, our Lord could come today and probably should by our standard, for can it get any worse than what we have? But our Lord delays because he loves. And he truly wants all men to repent and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So he sends rain on the righteous and the wicked. He gives food to the thankful and to the unthankful. He sent his Son to die for all, each and every soul, not one left out or forgotten, and his gospel continues to go out throughout the world. And here you sit, with yet another opportunity to hear and to pray, to sing and to ponder, to eat and to drink. The Lord delays because he loves. Having that salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, you have been made new. Your place in heaven with Christ and with the Father is secure. Nothing more needs to be done. Nothing more could be done. Through faith in Christ, you are pure and holy and righteous. No sin can attach itself to you. No stain can remain with you, for you are all that Christ has done. Pure and spotless. And in that now, Christ urges you toward a sanctified, godly life. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. What you are will not increase or decrease, but how you manifest that holiness does increase and decrease. We call that sanctification. God desires that you continue to grow and abound in every good work. So specifically with this text, the Christian grows in responding to the actions of others with self-control and measured words. No quick reactions, no judgmental glance, no sharp tongue, but mercy. And this happens for two reasons. One, you see the world as God sees it. And two, their actions lead you to self-examination. So the first, you view them as God would view them. Do you really expect your children or your spouse to be perfect and well-behaved all the time? Do they not struggle against a sinful flesh even as you do? Are they still not desiring the things of God even as you do, though they fall short? And do you really expect a fallen world, which is so engulfed in sin, to become more moral and godly and good? They have only a sinful flesh. We're not condoning their sinful behavior, but we're recognizing what they truly need. Constantly complaining about how wicked the world is, how so-and-so is ruining the country, how so-and-so has made my life more difficult or my job harder, is to fall into Satan's trap. and to set ourselves up as judge. How does God view them? He views them as one who is steeped in sin, headed toward death and hell. That is how we should view them. So the goal is not to condemn them and to prove ourselves right. The goal is to give them the one thing needful so that they too may have life with Christ. The goal is to bring them into the communion of the Holy Christian Church, for God wants all men to be saved. And on top of that, he wants to give them more joy, something better, something greater than what they are striving for. More happiness, more peace. They're headed in the wrong direction, and even we at times forget. But he desires that all would desire him. They are lost. So don't add fuel to the fire. Remember, you are not the judge, but instead emulate the mercy and compassion of Christ. He doesn't approve of sin, but neither does he heap judgment upon them. What did he say to the woman who wept at his feet and anointed them with perfume? He didn't shove her away as Simon wanted, but instead he said, "Your sins, which are many, are forgiven." And to the woman caught in adultery, he doesn't throw lightning down from heaven, but he kneels down in the dust and begins to write, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And to those terrified apostles who had just abandoned their God and Savior, our Lord appears on Easter evening and simply says, "Peace be with you." And to Peter, walking along the shore, 3 times, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." You see how our Lord delays so that his mercy might be shown to all, that forgiveness and life might be bestowed upon all. So if the judge of heaven and earth can forgive, then who are we to hold a grudge? If the judge of heaven and earth can accept a slight, who are we to show anger? Christ says, "Everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." So be merciful, even as your heavenly Father is merciful. And now the second reason we show such mercy. Not only do we see them as God himself sees them, but their failures should open our eyes to self-examination. That is the log in our eye. If we see some sin in others, let us use it as an opportunity to ponder our own shortcomings. So what if we haven't fallen into the same exact sin? We still know their sinful flesh is the same that dwells within us. It may manifest in different ways, but they don't have more of a sinful nature than what we have. And when we recognize that the sinful nature is the root cause of every sin, of our failures, of our bitterness and disappointment, then we will recognize what our problem is, and also the solution. We will never underestimate it. It is ready to rear its ugly head, probably not in a way that makes the history books or the evening news, but usually in a death by a thousand cuts way, in a needling and prodding at others way, in a way that makes others put up with the worst of us at work, at home, or on the road. The log in our eye can easily blind us to that godly life because we think we are justified in how we have reacted. We too must be called to repentance and faith. We too must be brought back to the mercy of Christ, who again delays. Though your sins may not be outwardly as egregious, still our Lord comes to you with a quiet and still voice. "I forgive you. Take and eat." So be merciful even as your Father is merciful, for you have been filled with the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, and the eyes of Christ. And when you must speak a word of rebuke, and at times you must, speak with love. That is, speak to lead them to repentance and faith in Christ. Do not tolerate sin, but neither judge the person. You are not God. Recognize that same law condemns you. So no getting back at other people for how they treated us, but leave it to God and repay evil with good. For to this you were called, that you might testify to your merciful Heavenly Father and to the salvation found in his Son. He is patient with you. No knee-jerk reactions or judgmental stares from him. No quick tongue or biting words. But he delays in patience. He invites you to his altar once more, so that your sins, which are many, might be forgiven. And then he sends you out with these words: go and sin no more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.